So, want to extend a happy Labor Day's weekend to you. We're trusting that you're having a very relaxing and enjoyable last kind of full weekend as we launch into September. Glad that you've joined us, because today we're going to be having an opportunity to do a little wrap-up on our summer series, Encounters with Jesus, and also we're going to encounter Jesus through the celebration of communion. So you join with me as we ask God to bless what we're about to say and do. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for a great summer, and especially that we have an opportunity today to celebrate communion. We thank you for what it means and what it represents. And we know that Jesus invites us to remember him, to focus on him in this special way. And Father, we thank you that we have enjoyed this Encounters with Jesus series. Help us as Josh and I share some insights and reflections. I pray it will be meaningful to everyone. So God, again, we ask that you bless all that we say and do today, for we pray in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as promised, today we're going to do a brief recap, just kind of wrap up our series this summer that we entitled Encounters with Jesus, and thought it would be appropriate for Josh and me to kind of just share a few reflections, insights, and takeaways that we picked up over the summer. So I'm going to turn things over to Josh and ask Josh to share just two or three of these insights for us. Josh?
Well, thanks, John. I actually think that this was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed our summer series, Encounters with Jesus, and for me, there was quite a few takeaways. I think the first one, and it's a big one, that we saw throughout the entire series, is that Jesus' encounters with these people, whether it's Mary and Martha, whether it's the very scary demon-possessed caveman, they're all unique. They don't follow a specific formula for how you have to have an encounter with Jesus. It really stuck out to me when we looked at Mary and Martha. They're in the exact same situation, right? Their brother has died. They encounter Jesus. They almost say exactly the same thing, but yet Jesus' response is entirely different to them. He's putting on display that he's going to meet you where you're at, and he's going to give you what you need. So I really think that when we look to have our own encounters with Jesus, we shouldn't look to make it look like the same as somebody else's encounter or this person's encounter. It's going to be unique for us. Jesus is going to meet us. He's going to meet you where you're at. I really appreciated when you looked at the difference between demon oppression and demon possession. Just a fun one. No real big comments. I just really like that one. And then finally, when we looked at Pilate, I had no idea about Pilate at all. Many of you commented that you didn't know anything about Pilate either. So I think that was fun, just to be able to look at a pretty famous biblical character that we just don't know very much about. And we looked at those questions of how to have meaningful spiritual dialogue, and I've actually put those questions already into practice after working on that sermon, right? So what do you mean by that? How did you come to that conclusion, and have you ever considered? And I could go on and on and on, but this is supposed to be a recap and not a sermon. So what about you, John? What takeaways did you have?
Well, Josh, I appreciate your sharing and this opportunity to just give you a couple of reflections that I had. The first one is just kind of a general one, and like Josh, I really enjoyed this series. I do want to make a special point of thanking Josh for sharing in this series. Josh's your sermons were outstanding. I so appreciated the insights about Nathaniel from John 1, Nicodemus in John 3, Mary and Martha from John 11, and then Pilate from John 18. What really stood out for me was the passion you have for evangelism, and it really inspired me, and I hope all of us as we listened, and just some really great thoughts and insights there for us. For me, when I preached this summer, I actually seemed to focus more on the Gospel of Mark, but I intentionally wanted to look at some difficult issues like miracles and healings and demon possession, and even in the last sermon, the tension between Jesus as Savior and Jesus as Lord. But what I want to say here is that I would really encourage you, if you missed any sermons this summer, to go back and catch up and listen to them. I'm not wanting to be arrogant or boast about Josh or myself, but I think the quality of the sermons was very good, and we thank God for that. So go back and listen. It's interesting. I remember preaching, when I did a lot of itinerant preaching, people would say, well, you know, to preach a sermon twice or three times is like serving refried beans. I've never had refried beans, but I think it was a bit of a insulting comment. But for me, there was always new insights. There was always new observations, something that was really exciting and invigorating about preaching a sermon more than once. And I think the same principle applies to listening to a sermon. Why don't you go back, even if it's a sermon you particularly liked? You might go, I really, really enjoyed that sermon about Pilate and Jesus. Well, go back and listen to it again and pick up some insights from it. The second thing I would say is related to Josh. We didn't rehearse this, but it's just that Jesus is unique. And you can't limit Jesus to a formula or a strategy or a five-step plan. He deals with people in a personal and particular and appropriate way. And that's how he is with us. And I so appreciate that about our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't limit him. The third thing I would say, and good for today, is both Josh and I are very committed to application. So what? What does it mean to you? And I'm hoping that during this series, you've been asking those questions. We've looked at a lot of stories this summer about people who had encounters with Jesus. What's your story? Have you experienced Jesus Christ in a profoundly personal way this summer? And you know that if you have questions or concerns, if you need any kind of help, talk to Josh, talk to me. As your pastors, we are committed to help you come to Christ, to assist you in your development and your growth as believers. So we want this series, Encounters with Jesus, not just to be put on a shelf, but we want it to have meaning for you from this point on. You know, a way we encounter Jesus is through communion. I think it's a wonderful occasion for us. You know, Jesus was saying, I'm replacing the religious formalism and some of the rituals from the past. This will be a new way that focuses on me. Isn't it interesting? I read this in a book the other day that when Jesus commemorated and introduced this new way of doing communion, that he didn't just say, this is my body represented in the bread, this is my blood poured out for you represented in the cup, but what impresses us is that Jesus invited the disciples to actually take the bread and take the cup. And I think what that means is that Jesus invites us to experience him, to develop intimacy with him, even through communion. It's a very simple celebration, and I'm going to pass it over to Josh. And Josh, will you please lead us through communion?
Well, it's around this dinner table, it's around the communion table that we can have our very own encounter with Jesus. And so I would encourage you to gather those in your household, get what you need. It doesn't have to be grape juice or bread. We're using cookies and Pepsi Max because somebody forgot to bring in the communion stuff. It doesn't matter what you use, it matters that you come around the table and encounter Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup. Giving thanks, he said, "This is my blood given for you. This is a sign of the new covenant. Every time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." Every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, may we do it in remembrance of Jesus, and may we do it proclaiming the death and resurrection until he comes again. John?
Thanks so much, Josh. Let's just pray and conclude our service. Heavenly Father, this is such a simple celebration. For some of us, we've done this kind of celebration hundreds of times, but oh God, I pray that by your Spirit we may have a fresh and meaningful experience, even as we reflect on what we have just done. Oh Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for making your presence known to us. And though we believe these tokens just represent who you are and what you've done for us, we pray that through the Spirit we may have this personal and dynamic encounter with you. Jesus, we just thank you for what you did at the cross for us. We thank you, as Josh indicated, that you are risen, that you are alive and indwelling us. Oh God, I just pray that you would help us as we focus on Jesus today and moving forward. Father, we pray again about our reopening, and then we think of the fall series, and just pray, God, for every aspect and element of what we do as a church. For we pray in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.